I'm just going to start recording because we realized that the best stuff we get is like before we're actually talking about anything. So just doing it. I don't care.
Love it.
I don't care. So it's Bird Brains. And now we started.
Let's do it.
Oh, man. Hey
guys, did our season go down in flames? Are we still alive?
Wow. Oh, it's alive and kicking. We're ACC championship bound. This is what we do.
It totally depends on your definition of alive. If by alive you mean we could still in some alternate universe make the ACC championship, then sure, it's alive. But if by like recruits will come to play for at Virginia Tech, it's dead.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true.
No one said that would happen, but I mean, we're going to be favored every game except Clemson here on out.
We're favored against Miami?
Oh, yeah. 2.5-point favorite.
Oh, I'm going to get on that line. That's crazy.
You're the worst, man. You can't bet against us.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. This is a Virginia Tech podcast.
You're shameless.
Pick of the week.
I did. Oh, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I definitely looked at it in our Pick'ems League, and I was like, ooh, that's a really hard line not to push.
It's very hard.
Has it moved, Chris?
Yeah, well, we started out as 1-point favorites. It's moved up to 2.5.
It's moved in our direction?
Yes.
Wow.
So
it's – I'll tell you why.
Yeah, Chris, talk to us about why you think
– I'd love to understand some football right now, yeah.
Yeah, why are we not up in flames? Damn it, John. And why should we be favored?
I'm only going to tell you why we are favored in Vegas. The reason we are favored in Vegas is because our offense can't be stopped, and we proved that time and time again. We literally had 8 possessions against Liberty, and we scored touchdowns on 7 of them. 7 of 8.
Unless the defense is rhymes with Lake Forest, right?
Blake Forest.
I don't know. I couldn't think of another last name that rhymes with Forest.
That's exactly what Vegas isn't looking at wins and losses. Their analytics department, which is, I'm assuming, more than one person, saw the Wake Forest game, and they saw that we threw 3 touchdowns in the red zone, 2 of which got intercepted in the end zone. So they are looking at, like, those are essentially touchdowns, right? So they're not looking at the wins and losses. And they know that NC State just put up 40 on Miami. Like Miami can't stop anybody. So they're saying Virginia Tech's going to put up 40, but so is Miami. So that's why it's 41-40 Virginia Tech.
I don't have as much faith in our offense as you do. I mean, yeah, like our offense has scored 40, but, you know.
I'm not backing our offense. I'm saying that's why Vegas has this pick to beat Miami.
I say you don't have faith in our offense. You're just saying Vegas does.
Vegas does. Chris, yeah, that's objective. What we need to see is a lot of this. We need to see a lot of Hendon Hooker doing this. He does this all the time. Like, his juke move is so ridiculous, but he actually gets by guys. He's like,
You can't see John right now, but he looks like a baby giraffe who's learning how to walk.
I was getting ready to say we each need to explain to listeners what John is doing.
Can you do better than baby giraffe who's just learning how to walk?
He's like, baby giraffe. What was the thing you used to do, Scott? Near
the Grover.
Grover. I just think his juke like, move is very
near.
It's like flag football. The guys are falling all over the place. It's kind of crazy, but it's the funniest juke move I've ever seen. It's like a flag football move that I would make, but he gets by guys. I mean, he's fast. So
that's exactly what I was thinking. It looks just like my juke moves in flag football, which didn't work, but they work because Hendon Hooker's just a little faster than me, just a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, my problem with our offense is like, it goes away exactly. So this is going to sound harsh, given that, like, against Louisville, we scored, like, the go-ahead touchdown when we absolutely had to score the go-ahead touchdown. But a lot of times it goes away exactly when you need it not to. So I understand there are two teams, there's a defense, but like our offense or our defense was just on the field for so long. And then the offense comes out and goes three and out. Like it's exactly when you need them not to go three and out that Corny draws up some like deep shot for no reason.
When he passes in a row. Yeah.
When Khalil Herbert has been like running all over the place. And I mean, we were crushed against Liberty that Herbert went down, but like, but good teams have backups that can play, and we just don't have backups that can play.
You can't say what happened to him anyway. Our offense against Liberty. You can't do that. Like, you're a coach on Friday, and I ask you tomorrow, Scott, as a head coach, I'm going to give you an offense. You're going to have all of your possessions on offense, and you are going to score on every single one of them. You're going to score a touchdown, but one, you're going to punt. You'd say, yeah, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not hating on our. Yeah, to be fair, I'm not talking about the Liberty game, which I didn't watch because I knew where it was going. Did not watch.
Oh man.
I'm not talking about our Liberty game, but I am talking about like Wake Forest. It was like this. Louisville had three great looks at onside kicks, and if they had gotten any one of those, they would have won the game. Any one of them. And they were all wide open. How are they all wide open? Don't we have the highest paid special teams coach on the planet? Why? How are they wide open?
I don't even think we had our hands team in.
Yeah, well, James Mitchell's like our hands team. That's all we got.
He's the team, yeah.
You need a catch from our team. Maybe Trey Turner and James Mitchell, that's all you got.
Well, Tavion Robinson leads the country in not dropping passes. 21 passes he is.
Yeah, not going to drop a punt on the no. 4-yard line, though.
Yeah. I mean, that essentially lost us the game. Like, our defense finally got a stop, and then you must have punt inside the 4-yard line. I mean, that lost the game.
I see. You see Chris hold up the stress ball? Like, this is killing me. Right?
Yeah, he did have a stress ball. He's like,
don't get me started.
It's funny because he sounds very calm, and then he went like this, and I was like, wait a second, what's that? He's like, we're okay, guys.
We're fine. We're all fine. Yeah, dude. So I'm just saying, if I give you the reins to the offense and you're in the coach's room, just don't be squeezing that stress ball the whole time. No one's going to believe it.
We're totally – everything's going to be okay. Yeah.
So since we started this episode, let's just go ahead and throw out our prediction for the game on Saturday. Why not?
Against Miami?
We're going to flip it around. No need to – yeah.
First of all, I'll say it's a completely different year, right? Like nothing makes any sense. I mean, except that Liberty actually has more talent and depth than we do, which is crazy. But I'll say, you know, you can't predict anything. So, I mean, it's not that crazy that we're favored against Miami. I know I was making jokes about it, but like I could see us winning by like 14 or losing by 21 is kind of where I'm at. I'm going to pick, because I'm a homer, I'm going to pick the Hokies by 6.
Interesting. That's good. Yeah, my take is like –
What's the score of that?
38-44. Hopefully that adds up to 6. Did I do it? I did it.
That's pretty sweet. And I don't know if I've seen a 38-44 game in a while. So. I did see a game. What was that game this week? Or it was like a couple weeks ago with the Clemson. I put up like 80 points or something crazy against somebody. Was it Clemson this year?
Yeah. 72 against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech. I mean, Georgia Tech's a real football team. That's a game, you know?
No, Georgia Tech is not a real football team. Not this year. They're not. No. No, not saying that Virginia Tech would beat them. I have no idea. But they're not a real
football team. One thing that I would say is I think it's easy. So I don't read a lot about the just in general. But
full stop.
About the football team. We'll stop there. But I don't read a lot about it, but I watch all the games. So I just know what I see. And I will say one thing that's interesting is I think teams like Liberty are really benefiting from the transfer portal, like as a whole. And I think this is reshaping college football, like underneath us. We're actually probably in that boat too. But I think these middle of the pack teams like us, UVA, for the longest time have dominated recruiting, and then you just kind of keep those guys. But now I think it's going to change the game in the next – I think it's like NCAA basketball where, like, 10 years ago, you know, it was all just basically these top guys, and now, you know, you got Southern Illinois and VCU and all these teams that were able to come up. And I think that may happen in college football with the transfer portal now, because, like, if you're really good at that, you can get these Auburn, you know, transfer quarterbacks, then you're right in there with the top guys. It's not a huge surprise. I mean, it is a surprise, obviously, that Liberty beat us, but they look like a talented team, you know. So they pass the eye test for sure.
I think it's going to concentrate power. It's going to concentrate power in, like, in the Power Five conferences. Like, you're not going to get that, you know. I was just watching the South Carolina game, and they were like, oh, this guy transferred from Gardner-Webb. Like, going from Gardner-Webb to playing in the SEC, you know, so you're not going to get, like, you're not going to get a bunch of players sticking it out at Coastal Carolina. Like, yeah, they're ranked this year, but they won't be next year because they'll a bunch of people hit the transfer portal is the way I see it. Mm-hmm. Liberty is a special case because they're throwing out all morals to, like, build a football team, and they're going to do the same thing with the basketball.
Yeah, they pulled a little bit of Baylor when it came to – sports, I think. So yeah. I don't know. I think that anyway, long story, I have no idea how that goes with my prediction.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be picking the game right now. How did we get over here?
I got on a soapbox. Let me get off my soapbox here. Yeah. So I would say game against Miami. I haven't really watched Miami at all, but I know they were running quarterback, and we always fare really poorly at defending quarterbacks. So I would say like 35-21 or something like that. Like, we kind of get down and just can't stop them. I don't like it. Anytime we play a team with a great running game or running quarterback, because we just don't seem to respond in a way. And we got a defensive coordinator that was at BMI 2 years ago, so I'm just going to throw that out there. And so I think it's going to be hard for us to respond to the play calling that Miami's going to throw at us. So.
He was a position coach at BMI 2 years ago.
Position coach, not even the DC.
Not position coach at BMI. Ham. I love Jay Ham, but it's a deep pond he just got thrown into.
Totally. Yeah, I think he'll be a smart guy. And I told Chris, a couple years, 2-3 years, I think he'll be okay. But right now, oh man, he's swimming. So, all right, Chris, what's your prediction? Yeah.
I think I'm going 40-30. Miami Hurricanes.
40-30 sounds weirder than 44-38 for people a hard time. Like,
I think Khalil Herbert will not be back, and so that's why we only score 30. I think that hamstring's actually big. I mean, hamstrings are hamstrings. He's going to stick a needle in it, but he's not going to be the same. Like, it's not going to be.
Didn't you pull a hamstring in high school, Chris?
Hip flexor.
That hurts, right? Like, that hurt for a long time.
I still feel it sometimes, literally.
Yeah, your face is killing me. Yes.
Softball that in there.
See, I think I think it's about whether, like, Cornelson does not adapt very well, right? So if the game plan goes the wrong way, like, the game plan that was installed was for Herbert against Liberty. Like, if they plan on Herbert not being there, I feel like they can actually overcome it. It's when somebody goes down, and I think this isn't just Cornelson. It's just our whole team.
Sign of great coaching.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Not being able to adapt. our starting middle linebacker goes out, and, like, our plan just goes to hell. Like, that's, you know, and that's partly because we don't have any depth. It's like, you know, we don't have – somebody right behind ETN who's also the greatest running back in the history of the ACC just waiting to play. Like, that's just not how it works at Tech. Not right now.
I do think that Miami puts a lot of points on us. I feel like our defense is going to be – has been depleted, and it's going to be depleted more. I feel like Ashby's not going to be back. I've heard Tisdale's not going to be playing this weekend, so that moves who Tisdale's back with.
That's bad. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know who Tisdale's backup is, because Hollyfield, if he moves over to, you know, Ashby's.
Isn't it Dax? Oh, if Ashby's out. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because if Tisdale's not there, who's going to run and be in a perfect position and then miss a tackle? You know? Yeah. Who's gonna do that?
Like, we move Barno back Matheny. There to the outside linebacker? I don't know.
Matheny can run and miss the tackle again. That's it.
Matheny. Have we podcasted since the UNC game to talk about Matheny? I mean, can we?
Uh, I don't remember, but you go ahead. It's an open floor, so.
Matheny recruited out of high school, not to Virginia Tech, just other colleges as a wrestler because he had no football skills whatsoever. Wrestler, he's not even a football recruit. And then he just comes
to Virginia, yeah,
decides he wants to play football, and we're starting him at safety.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, we're not that far removed from the beauty of this is that one of us might be able to play if we had any eligibility. We're so close to the field right now.
It's true. We are that much closer. It kind of reminds me a little bit of back when Scott and I were in college way back in the day with Bobby Hussey. You remember, or wait, was it Bobby Hussey or Ricky Stokes? Ricky Stokes basketball. So I'm switching gears. I'm going basketball on this. But like, those teams in basketball, like you will watch them and be like, oh, okay, we got a recruit from, I don't know, like somewhere way off the map that you're like, oh, he's a 2-star, but he looks pretty good, whatever. And then it's like, yeah, he's not any good. Like there's a reason why there's talent level. And I just feel like we're at that talent level now where like we're playing guys that are crazy. They're playing at a level of Virginia Tech, you know. So,
you know, the biggest recruiting thing that I remember is, I think it was like Seth Greenberg's first signing class. And he took, the guy was like the number one player in Virginia, and he was a guard, and he showed up his freshman year, and we were like all excited. Like, this guy's like a, you know, 4-star or whatever. He couldn't dribble with his left hand. He was a guard in the Big East or the ACC. We're like, I can't dribble with my left hand. Like I can't be a guard.
His name? I know who you're talking about.
He was a big recruit. He was like a top 50, top guy, yeah.
He was the reason we didn't take Steph Curry. That dude, think about that. Like, people always give a hard time about not taking Steph Curry, and I'm not really trying to give, like, Seth a hard time about that, because, like, I mean, Steph Curry was 5'10", 110 pounds. Like,
yeah.
He didn't look like, but the dude we took instead couldn't dribble with his left hand at all.
Yeah,
he might as well not even had a left hand.
Yeah,
Thorns.
No, that was Hank Thorns. Hank Thorns played like 4 or 5 years. Like, Hank Thorns, like, Hank Thorns, actually,
yeah, he's all right.
He was just 5'3". Just 5'3". That's the only thing that was the only problem with him.
I like little Hank Thorns, man. He was good. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, Scott, and I agree. I think that is a very, very similar situation, like, where we're now picking up recruits that, like, you know, should not be on the field, and they're playing. Like, it's crazy. So
your man Dak is the equivalent of that. He's a 4-star who can't dribble with his left hand. Like, he's he's a good dude, but he's just not fast enough to play. He's out of position right now. Like, you know, maybe he can play middle linebacker, but he's not fast enough to get to the sideline against.
All right. So name Fuente's top, in his 5 years, his top probably 2 or 3 recruits that we've gotten.
Hey, John, do you mind taking the phone off? I can hear you so much better without the phone.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, you guys ponder that question while I do that.
All right. Top recruit.
Top recruits, Devin Hunter.
It's not funny. So I was disparaging to Dak, but Devin Hunter is the dog who can't dribble with his left hand. I feel like that dude's name was Marcus. I want to say Marcus, but I
yeah, but I would say our top two are what? Dax and Devin Hunter, right?
The top recruit in the history of Justin Fuente is Jerod Evans. There's no number two.
Yeah.
But he's not even, does he count? I mean, he's not even like listed as like a star recruit.
Y'all are haters not counting him as a Hokie just because he left for 1 year. He took us to the ACC championship. He almost beat them in the ACC championship in a year where, didn't they win the national championship that year?
Yes.
It was their first year that they won it, yeah.
Yeah. So y'all are haters. Cut it out. Jerod Evans is a Hokie. I've heard you say it too. No.
So I guess I should have reframed it. What I was trying to say is, who's the top like high school recruit that got stars that came in? You know, that was like, oh, he's a 4 or a 5, like he's big.
Turner.
I think Dak and Devin are the two guys. and they're not great, right? So like there's a reason why we got them. Like we haven't really gotten a stud that's like, whoa, that's a Tyrod or a, you know, Macho Harris, where you're like, he's a five star, and you look at him and he's like, yeah, he's a five star. So
I was pretty dismissive, like, to, you know, whatever, 2 weeks ago when we did this last time, and you guys asked, like, based on how Khalil Herbert's doing, can we get running backs? I mean, we've strung some pretty good running games together, and our offensive line does most of the time look great. Like, am I wrong? Could we actually get offensive recruits based on our performance this year?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. What's crazy, I was just now looking, but like Fuente's first year, we had 7 four-star recruits. 7.
Name them.
Yeah. Jamari Connor, still playing.
Mm-hmm. Still playing, yeah, good.
Great. Jeremy Webb, never played, hurt both, tore both
Achilles. Never played, yeah.
Transferred. Quincy Patterson. Trey Turner. Dax Hollyfield.
So that was like – Was that
that's
7?
That's a pretty solid class.
That was 4.
Yeah, that felt like 5. Did you skip a couple people? Did you try to hide a couple votes in there?
Sorry, I forgot to scroll down. Alan Tisdale, 4-star recruit. And
wow,
James,
okay.
And James who?
James Mitchell.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So that's a pretty solid class, actually.
Yeah, that was.
I feel like Fuentes had 2 good recruiting classes. Just, it's that the last one was hot, wet garbage, and this one might be worse.
Worse. But, so Chris has made this point about COVID right now being kind of an X factor, where maybe some of these guys are not ranked high, but they could be solid. I think it's a matter of, like, Alabama and Clemson haven't been out there, like, watching these kids, so they haven't gotten offers, so then maybe some of them really are studs, you know, so.
Yeah,
this is how I sleep at night. So
I like it. You know how I sleep at night?
The 2022 class, yeah.
I do. I think about like space things, like stuff in the cosmos that I can't, that I'm never going to be able to totally understand. So eventually, my brain's just like, you know what? Shut up, you moron. Go to sleep. And that's what I do.
Space things. I like it.
Sometimes I would make game plans. So on a similar level, I would make game plans for like our upcoming game, like what I would do to attack like the Miami defense, for instance, because I'm also an idiot about that. And like nothing I came up with there would be useful. So eventually my brain would be like, Scott, you're a moron. Just go to sleep. And then I would just go to sleep.
Kind of like we would be in the locker room before the game's making the plays up.
Scott. Yeah, the Hokey Bird plays.
The Hokey Bird plays, yeah. That was so stupid.
When we broke into the referee's locker room and stole it and made it our own.
Yeah.
Those were good times. So, Chris, I think that ties into something you were telling us over text message, that you're the only person on the planet who doesn't think we should fire Fuente. And so give it to us. Why?
Well, first of all, Virginia Tech can't afford it. So that's number one.
Yeah, what's his contract? When does his contract expire?
2025. So, like, everyone's mad about Fuente. Why is no one talking about Luke Babcock giving him a 7-year extension in 2018? 7 years.
But that was, to be fair, that was 1 year after the ACC championship game, roughly. And, like, you know, we knew we were going to have some bad years. We knew, like, everybody should not forget that we knew we were going to have some bad years. And so we finally have our offense built. Our defense is trash, but maybe that'll come around. But I think, like, in these days, like, you have to tell a recruit, like, well, your coach is going to be here for 5 years. Like, if you're going to sign with him, he's going
to
be here.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. That's sort of something to think about. Like, we keep him for another year, right? And we're like, all right, well, we'll keep him for next fall, and it's going to save us money because then we can fire him next December. December 10th is when the money drops, like $4 million. So it's like, okay, we'll hold him till next December 10th. What if he goes 10-2 next year? You going to fire him? Like, I don't know if you can fire him.
Well, I think this year, this will be a little bit – I also wonder, Chris, like, who's on the market this year? Like, I don't know if there's going to be this year at all, so – I mean,
so I'm sorry, just to be clear, your reasons for not firing Armar, A, money, and B, you don't think you can get a better coach, and C, what if he goes 10-2, then you won't be able to fire him. Those aren't reasons to keep him.
Next fall, if he goes 10-2, like, aren't you an AD in a crazy dilemma because your coach just went 10-2? You want to fire him because you know what his program's about, like bad recruiting classes, 8-win seasons. Like, you know what his program's about. But then you either have to give an extension because recruits are going to see that, or you fire him. Like, it's a crazy battle as an AD next fall.
I think it's a – yeah. I also wonder, you know, are we okay with – this is just like a question of Virginia Tech fans. Like, are we okay with where we're at, you know, and kind of this college football spectrum? Like, are we an Oklahoma State, Michigan State fan where we're like, hey, this is like – you know, we're in there? Or do we want to be Clemson? Like, do we want to be in that realm of like, whoa, this is and I think that's just a big question. And, you know, right now I would say we're probably okay with at least being in the running for like beating a Penn State or Ohio State every once in a while, but not up there like those guys. You know, I don't know.
I think the issue is like
the want.
Say it again.
Like you're saying the one, like, do you want to be Clemson? Who would not want to be Clemson?
No. But yeah, but the one has to come with the action of paying for it. Like, are we able to do that even?
If you're going to be Clemson, does Dabo have to be your coach? Like, can you win if Dabo's not your coach? Because I don't want Dabo as my coach. I do want the win.
That goes right back to what John just said, though, like paying for it. Clemson didn't pay him to start out. I mean, that's why they got him, because it was cheap. I mean, that's what you got to think about.
But they paid for Venables. And
Now they paid for Venables. They paid for the lasting, like, now it is, yeah.
Like after 3 or 4 years. That was not a beginning thing.
I think the thing is, John, like, I think the Virginia Tech fan base would be completely fine with being essentially who we are, if you replace the ODU loss and the Liberty loss with, like, ACC schools. And if you lost to Duke last year by 18 instead of 45. Like, these are the things that, like, that make it really hard, you know? So like Oklahoma State, I mean, this, I don't know how many Oklahoma State games I've watched. I know that me and their coach have the same haircut.
you both have mullets. That's for sure.
But I don't think they're losing to middle Tennessee State or whoever they're playing as their, you know, as their like walkover school as often as we are. Like, the ODU, first of all, I don't think they're scheduling ODU at ODU, which is a mind blowing experience. And I
back
don't
think
they're
back to Wink Babcock, right? Back to that.
Yeah. We should blame that on somebody else, though, just so I can stick to my love and wit. In wit we trust.
Yeah.
I mean, look at him from a basketball standpoint.
Oh, I love his basketball. Yeah.
He's killing it. But I don't know, man. I think, like, I do agree with you. If you can't pull a Dan Snyder, you can't fire someone if they go 10-2. Or, like, if Fuente somehow, like, you know, runs the table the rest of the season, or maybe, like, runs the table minus a loss to Clemson, like, you can't let him go then.
But what about this season? So, Chris, you're going to back this up. If we literally win another game this year, we lose to UVA, we get blown out by Clemson at the end of the year, all that.
Yeah, you fire him. Yeah, you have to fire him. So, like, I think
that could happen. Like, that could happen.
Yeah. If we say we lose to Miami, say we beat Pitt, and then we lose the last two, I think you have to fire him. Like, if you lose to UVA again, you have to fire him. Like,
and you get blown up by Clemson, and you lose to Miami. It's like, so if he wins one more game against Pitt and loses the rest, I think he's gone. Like,
yeah, because I saw in the contract, so on December, I think it's December 10th, it drops $3 million on December 10th. So you wait till then, and then it's in the contract that we don't have to pay it all up front. So it's throughout the next 4 years. So we get 4 years to pay.
Chris is like, I don't think we should fire Fuente. But in case we do fire Fuente, I've read his entire contract. I know
exactly when we should fire him.
Yeah. To be real, I mean, I you know, it sucks talking about, like, letting someone go. It's just a weird position to be in for Virginia Tech, like, when it was, you know, 30 years of the same coaching staff. But I mean, it doesn't. So maybe the recruiting class is like, is COVID light in terms of stars, or maybe we just can't get anybody who's actually good to commit here. And like that.
Why was Fuente able to do it when he started here? That's my issue. Like,
you sell the dream.
I mean, I just now saw, like, two recruiting classes in a row. We had more than 7 4-star recruits, 2 recruiting classes in a row. Like,
how was I wonder, you know, we don't know all the details, but like, you know, it seems like the transfer portal thing. And I don't know if you guys read Athlon, the preseason magazine, where they, I always like, they have this snapshot at the bottom of each team, and it's, they interview coaches in the league that are anonymous about that team. And I thought it was really interesting, like this year, and a couple coaches said, obviously you don't know who it is, but it's like, there's something going on with this transfer portal thing. Like, they can't figure it out there. Like, why is he still losing guys this late in the game? And I do feel like that's a little bit of like, I don't know, it seems like now guys are in it and there's enough maybe bad blood or talk around that, like, that we don't know that some of these players are just like, yeah, you don't want to go under that guy, you know? Like, I don't know. That just feels like there could be something there, and now it's going to be harder to grab those recruits. So that's just my thought.
I mean, it's personalities too. It's like, you know, you look at Bill Belichick, it didn't work in Cleveland, whatever it was. And maybe that was like, he was young and it, you know, but it works. It works with the Patriots, you know.
Well, it works with Tom Brady.
It does work with Tom Brady.
It works a lot better with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're seeing it this year. It's not as good. So.
Yeah.
I'm always going to keep backing Fuente until we lose to UVA this year. I'll say that. Like, I'll say that we need to keep him for another year until we – if we lose to UVA this year, I will never back him again.
So what's – so – but other than the UVA thing, what's that about? Like, are you just seeing like progress? Are you hopeful, or are you just
think that we can't fire him this year. If he beats UVA and we win one other game, we're not going to fire him. We're losing $79 million this year. Like, you can't fire a coach during COVID. Like, COVID is not going to – the only reason that we would lose him is if, you know, coaches are going to step down other places and there's going to be coaches taking other jobs. Like, we may lose him to somewhere else is the only way, but you can't – when you're losing.
No, we talked about this last year. No one wants him to be their coach.
Yeah, that was the best. I remember when he first started, I don't know why I was worried about Oklahoma and some of these other schools, and I kept thinking, like, well, maybe he'll be bad enough for them not to want him. Like, maybe he'll go like 7-5 and then he won't leave. And then you're like, well, that means he's 7-5. Like,
check.
Don't want him. Like,
check.
I mean, you look at the resume, like, he's putting his resume together. Is he putting anything about this defense on his resume? Absolutely not. But is he putting this offense? Absolutely. It's a top 5 country in the country offense.
Maybe he's an offensive coordinator. Maybe he's an offensive coordinator at Bama or something. You know, like, I don't know. This Hamilton hire may have been his downfall, though. Like, I really.
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you see the options were Hamilton or Barry Odom. And Barry Odom's gone to Arkansas and is absolutely –
exactly.
Amazing job at Arkansas. Like, he's going to get a head coaching job this year.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think, like, no one's going to, like, you're hiring a football coach. You're not reading their resume. They didn't put together a Word document of his resume that's, like, average. It's like, you know, no, we watched y'all lose to Liberty. We're good. We're good on that.
Well, like, when you think of him coming to us, like, you look at Memphis offense, right? Like, as a fan, you're like, well, what is their offense? Oh, their offense is ranked 30 in the country. Like, that's what you look at. So any fan's going to look at there's no Texas fan watching Virginia Tech versus Liberty. There's no Baylor watching that. But a Baylor fan is like, oh, we're getting Justin Fuente. Oh, he's a top 10 offense in the country. That's what they're looking at.
But the same thing, like, the hubris that we had was like, well, we've got a good defense. Like, defense is like, that's a given here. We're fine. Don't worry about it. And it's like, right. It's not, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Scott, you didn't watch the game, but man, Justin Hamilton, did you watch the end of it at all?
I mean, I had it on, I was doing some carpentry. So I had it on my, like, my phone. I was listening to the whole thing, and I'd check in every once in a while. I watched that ridiculous calling a timeout before a 65-yard kick or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Like, and then right after that, when Hamilton pulled everybody back in the end zone, it's like, that's just the dumb – like, I was sitting there going, dude, they're going to throw a 15-yard pass. Like, what are you thinking? Like, I was thinking, like, they got time. Like, why are we – it was crazy.
I mean
– It was crazy.
I mean, I know that's crazy, but I don't even totally blame Hamilton for that. Like, it's a weird position. Like, we called a timeout.
That would have never happened with Bud.
No, I agree. But Hamilton, I mean, he's young. Like, you do have to give him a pass sometimes for being young and, like, you know, inexperienced here, right? But, like, but first, our head coach is not young and inexperienced.
No.
Why would you call a timeout in that position? Like, ignoring the fact that we blocked the kick and returned it for a touchdown, that's a fluke. But like,
well, they asked Fuente why he called a timeout, and he said that the reason is because they were thrown off that they were going out to kick a field goal. So they literally had no idea what was going on because it was a 59 yarder. So it like freaked out the entire team. Like, he's like, we had 12 guys out there. We didn't even know what we were doing. So we just called a timeout because we were like, why do they have their kicking team out there on third down kicking a 59 yarder with 8 seconds left? So he said it just like was an automatic, just sort of freaked them all out. So they called a timeout.
Okay. Yeah. Did we actually have 12 guys out there? Did anybody check that?
I don't know. But, you know, like, the TV, it was crazy bad. If you, Scott, I'm sorry.
The ACC network is terrible.
It's bad.
The announcers were watching the game on Zoom, and it was horrible. So everything they were announcing was what they saw. They literally talked about the kicker for Liberty's biceps for a minute and a half.
I did hear that. I heard that because I was listening to the YouTube call.
Oh, that's what they were showing on the screen, so they couldn't talk about anything else because that's what they were looking at is just this Liberty kicker.
The only thing worse than the ACC network is Virginia Tech's TuneIn app that like doesn't insist on you watching the behind the scenes video of Laser and Burnup calling it, and like can't stay connected to the internet. Like, it's right. Just we're an engineering school. Like, what is this?
So with that said, though, like when they kicked the field goal, you can tell if you see the video footage of it, like our team's literally just standing there. Like, we're not even doing anything. And like, you could tell that it wasn't like a real play. Like, everyone had stopped, even though we blocked it. Like, wasn't even a real play. It was weird. So,
you know, the heartbreaking thing about that is, I don't know if you paid attention, but while they were kicking the game winning field goal at the bottom line, it showed us winning 41-35 or whatever.
No.
Because ESPN, like, it, you know, the game was over. You know, that it was over. Like, according to, because the announcers were, like you said, they're watching it on Zoom. Yeah. It's crazy.
That's crazy. That is
crazy.
I didn't catch that. What's crazy, though, like, all in all, like, even when they threw the pass and they're coming out to kick it, I'm like, this dude, I think they showed the stat. He like literally was 2 for 6 past 30 yards or something. Like, I was like, this is a 51 yard. This isn't going to happen. Yeah. He actually hit it. Like,
his career long was 44. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are the odds of him making that?
Yeah. The problem is obviously not that they made a fluke kick or like that they got 10 yards on. It's that we were in a position to lose to Liberty by 2 or whatever, you know, that's or by 3. Well, it's like, we're not a good football team right now. I'm not going to lie to you guys,
but we're favored against Miami. What about, I mean, misery loves company, but like, it doesn't make me feel a lot better, but it kind of, in some ways, like Penn State, dude, like I was looking around kind of the college football world right now. There's a lot of schools that are kind of going, what? Like, Penn State's 0-3, and they've gotten – I mean, talk about their fan base. I mean, they've gotten top 10 classes, like, for the past 3 years. They got all of our recruits, basically, you know. It's like, what's going on there? You know, like, those guys, like
– You hate to see it. Oh, man, you hate to see it.
They're such great – such a great school. I would just hate to –
Franklin, you just hate to see it. God, I hate to see that guy struggling. Seems like such an upstanding, classy guy. Hate to see it.
Very humble. Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of Penn State, I think Penn State might be the weirdest place to see a game with no fans. Like, because they just make such a big deal out of like the whiteout and stuff. And like,
You
know, even Herbstreit and Fowler were talking about it, like how this place would have been going crazy in that Ohio State game, and there's no one there. Like, it's possible that Penn State, Virginia Tech, like really rely on crowd noise and stuff. Whereas like they make a big deal about it at Clemson, but Clemson is not that loud a place to watch a football game. And they're just good. That's what's happening at Clemson. Yeah. They're just good.
That's why they're good when they go anywhere to play, not just at Clemson, because they're actually just good.
Yeah.
It's not that crazy there as far as loud noise. You're right. And we're looking at LSU. Like, LSU's insane. I mean, it's so loud, right? So the fans, I don't know, these teams are coming in there and like holding their own. No, I mean, LSU, also not very good this year, but,
and like,
which is A&M, also kind of crazy.
A&M, for instance, not that loud, like not that intimidating a place to play. Like it's like a cool place to see a game, but it's not that intimidating. No. So when they were like, when they're good, it's just because they're good. You know, their home streak has been because they, you know, they were playing Big 12 teams.
You know who this benefits the most, I think, is Miami.
They've been preparing for this.
They're like, what's COVID? They're like, this is like.
Since the 90s, they have been preparing for this.
It benefits Miami big time. They're like,
have you seen a Miami game in whatever the pro stadium is called?
We, you know, Chris and I went to the Orange Bowl there back in 95, way back. So I haven't, but I haven't been to a Tech game there or a Miami. Have you?
Well, I went, I mean, I've been to the Orange Bowl before when the Orange Bowl existed, but I'm saying like the actual, like they play in the Miami Dolphins.
But I think we went to Pro Player, right, Chris? I think that's where it was. The new stadium.
That would have to be in like the 2000s. We played Cincinnati in the Orange Bowl in the Miami's, like the Pro Player Stadium.
In Kansas.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Chris, you've seen games here then. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, that Kansas game.
We dressed in the Dolphins locker room.
That's cool. God, we lost to Kansas.
I remember that the game, I think it was the Kansas one. Yeah, the Kansas one was the game that right before the team were about to go out and the entire locker room just starts smelling like weed, like crazy strong weed. Like
was it Steinspring?
Is it? No. Right next to the locker room, they had put ZZ Top because he was the halftime show. So ZZ Top and like the whole band.
No.
And it was just like covering our entire locker room. The coach is like, all right, let's get out of here, guys. Let's get out.
That's
dude, maybe that's why Steinspring kept throwing those outs against who was that cornerback that like stabbed people but also was the greatest cornerback in the planet.
Yeah, and he's still in the pros, it feels like. What?
Yeah. Talib.
Yeah,
Khalid, whatever. He was amazing. Yeah.
Oh my God, those were points where I was like, I could be an offensive coordinator. I could not throw the ball at this dude. That's all you have to do. Just don't throw it towards him. That's the only player on their defense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What's crazy is those passes we're trying to throw like out routes to like Justin Harper when we have Eddie Royal like on the other side. Quite. Yeah. Like, why are we throwing? I know Harper's good, but we've got Josh Morgan and Eddie Royal, and we're not throwing to either one of those dudes.
There was a fourth wide receiver too.
You know, back to the point of like, it is Browning. Funny because, like, we were talking earlier about kind of the state of the program right now, and like, I will say it is, even though we're losing the Liberty and stuff, like, it is still kind of fun to watch. It's much easier to watch than even back. I don't know. I feel like. Some of those games against like Georgia and Kansas, man, those were hard to watch. Like you're just like, oh, this is
oh yeah, yeah. It's the hope that kills you, man. Not having any hope is like makes it fun to watch. Like, cause if you win, you're just like, oh, cool, we won.
That's true. I feel like we have hope in every game. I kind of feel like we have hope against anybody we play this year, you know. So.
Oh, see, I'm going the other way. I'm saying because you don't have like expectations. It doesn't like you're not actually expecting to win and like win the Orange Bowl or anything. You're just like. Hey, if we beat Liberty, like, cool. That's the cherry on top of my day.
Yeah.
If we lose to Liberty, like, that's fine too, because I had a bunch of stuff I was working on. Like, this wasn't that important.
That's good.
That's the level we're at right now.
That's good.
I think, and we all three can talk about this because we don't live near Blacksburg, but it helps me not living near Blacksburg. In fact, like, no one where I live cares what happened to us in Liberty. No one watched it. Like, literally, no one I'm around watched that game. So, like, it really helps me as a fan.
It does, yeah.
I don't have to deal with
it. You can
I don't know
on.
If that's a good thing, but, yeah, it's true. It's, like
– It's a good thing. It's a bad thing when we're good and, like, you want to be near there. But when we're bad, it's good to, like – it's good to be far away because you could just move on. You move on. Like, you could wear – I could wear my Virginia Tech sweatshirt out to the grocery store and nobody's going to be like, you guys, and I'll just, they'll be like, so a lot of them will be like, Virginia. And I'm like, Virginia Tech, don't worry about it.
You guys are good at basketball, right?
Around here, everyone's watching football, and I'm sure it's the same in Texas. So all they see is the bottom line. So we're at the bottom line. That's what they know about Virginia Tech. So, like, our first weekend that we played, I went out to Lowe's, and a guy in line is like, wow, 21 players out today, huh? I'm like,
yeah,
21
players. Yeah.
You saw that on the bottom line. Like, that's the reason you saw that. That's so if we're
– I definitely know – I will say I know how big – it's very obvious. Because so when you're close to Blacksburg, every game is big. You know, it's like no matter what, it's a big game. You definitely know now, not being close, which games really are. Because you can tell, like people will bring up if you're somewhere and they're like, oh, wow, that was a nice win. Or like, yeah, tough. So like at games like Liberty, it's kind of like no one's saying anything. But if we almost beat Clemson and like that was down to the wire, people would be like, hey, that was like nice game. You know,
so. I do love how we're rooting for almost beating Clemson. like if we could just almost beat Clemson, that would be such a great day.
Yeah.
By the way, we're not going to almost beat Clemson. Notre Dame would have gotten smoked with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Smoked. And I'm not taking that away from them. We've never beat number one.
If during the ACC championship, we have to pick the spread of, you know, Notre Dame Clemson, let's just say that they're in that game. If that game is any less than 2-touchdown spread, give me
Clemson. I was going to say it's going to come out at 14. That's what I was going to say. It'll come out at 14. Yeah.
I bet you it won't. Oh. I bet you it'll be less. I bet you'll be less. And
Clemson
had
four starters out on defense.
Yeah.
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 It's going to be crazy different. Crazy.
And Notre Dame has not played well. Did not play well leading up to that game against Clemson. Like,
right.
So.
Right.
Like.
They almost lost to Louisville. They barely beat, I think, Wake. Do you all, what were your opinions on Saturday night, like, after that game, though? Because I was a little bit torn. I was kind of like, Notre Dame? Like, I don't know. I wish it was any other. Like, Notre Dame and Miami are the only other teams, and UVA, I guess, that I just wouldn't want to see that happen. But I don't know.
The fact that Trevor Lawrence wasn't in that game made me be like, whatever. Let him
have
it.
Yeah, it's true.
Let him
have
this. Now, if they had beat Clemson when, like, yes, I want Dabo to lose. I actually don't want Trevor Lawrence to lose. I like Trevor Lawrence, and like, I want Dabo. I don't like his haircut. It's weird coming
from
me.
You got the same hair, dude.
Yeah, I was going to say, your hair is just like Trevor Lawrence.
Long-haired boys.
His is like stick straight. And
rude boys.
And he also has like a little bit of a girlier face than me. I'm not gonna lie to you. He's a much prettier person.
It's the long nose.
If you have a face like this, if you have a face like a shoe, you can have long hair. It's fine. But if you, if you look like Trevor Lawrence, like if you wake up looking like you're wearing makeup, you should not have a short haircut or a long haircut. But yeah, I don't know. Just the fact that they, the fact that it wasn't like against Clemson's number ones made it be like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I still think if Clemson runs the table, they're in the playoffs, right? I mean, it's not. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
No doubt.
Name a Pac-12 school you're putting in there.
I don't think anybody will make it.
No, they're already all out. I mean, they're all out except maybe USC, I guess, if they like.
No, Oregon. Oregon's like, they're supposed to be the top guy.
And the Big Ten is going to have played like four games. Each one of those schools is going to have to shut it down for 3 weeks at some point.
I really think the SEC should get two schools no matter what. That's just my thought. Like
always.
No, just this year. I think this year to play 10 SEC games. That's crazy. Like I think both the teams in the SEC championship they should get in. So.
I hate the noise every year when it's like. Alabama just lost to LSU or vice versa. And it's like, we got to put them both in. And like, no, we saw that 6-3 game. Like, yes, they might be the most talented schools, but that was really boring to watch. Like, let's not do it again.
Hey, John, question for you there then. If A&M runs the table the rest of the way, but Florida goes to the SEC championship and gives Bama a great game, you think A&M or Florida gets in?
I think A&M gets in. I think it's like the old school, like, you don't want to even go – I think they get in if they run the table and they're running on that high. I think they get in with the winner playing awesome.
You have to pick. You have to pick one of these two people to be your coach, Jimbo Fisher or Dabo Swinney. Which one of those clowns do you want installed in Blacksburg?
I'd take Dabo.
The wins are
Dabo. Yeah.
Yeah. You got
to. I would say Dabo because he gets recruits and you kind of know he's doing it the right. I don't know Jimbo. I just don't trust for some reason. I don't know why. He still got that
sketch.
No one is doing it the right way.
We've already dealt with Dabo. We had Buzz Williams. Like, it's the same thing.
It's true. Yeah.
Except Dabo's more loyal than Buzz Williams.
Well,
Dabo could have left Clemson a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but he only wants to go to Bama. I mean, Bama.
Yeah, he's waiting on Bama.
But so
Bama's going to pay him $10 million. Like
Buzz Williams just took just took Virginia Tech to the Sweet 16, could have almost made the Elite Eight, could have gone back the next year because
they were
what's his name for Orlando was going to stay, and he was the best big man in the ACC before he went to Florida. Like, Buzz could have stayed, picked any school he wanted to go to the following year, and instead he left to go to Texas A&M, which is not a great basketball school, where he will be for 5 years before picking, like, the next school he wants to go to. So Dabo's not doing that. Why am I defending Dabo? Why did you? What did you guys do to me?
Yeah, you're defending Dabo. But honestly, you saying that out loud makes me think, like, doesn't that sort of mean that Dabo's doing it the right way? Like, if you're leaving programs, don't you sort of try to get out because you're like, all right, I'm being a little sketch. I need to get out and move on.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
As long as
Saban's doing it the right way. Like,
I mean, if you completely discount the fact that Saban left LSU to go to Miami, took a paycheck, and then went to Alabama to now do it the right way, then yes, Saban's doing it the right way. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. He's one of the only guys that's, like, truly been there and kind of stuck it out.
I just think we need to define doing it the right way, right? We don't mean he's not paying recruits. As long as we're saying that, yes, he's doing it the right way. Because there's no – you're not getting – look at what Cam Newton has essentially admitted to.
Like hundreds of thousands of dollars, yeah.
So you're not – you may for every Trevor Lawrence you get that doesn't require that of you, assuming it's Trevor Lawrence.
There's a couple, like, DB safeties that you're probably doing 50 grand or whatever, you know. Like,
there's 10 or 80. Yes.
There's 10.
I'm just saying, like, every one of them, their parents got a tractor or something or a roof for their church or whatever. Like, I'm not saying it's happening in Blacksburg too, I'm guessing. Like,
you think? I don't know.
No way. You can't have the 70th recruiting class in your paint.
I hope not. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying
that,
we're just
that
not,
would be sad. That would be sad for something like that to come out.
We're getting like $5 handshakes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like a free milkshake.
Free Hardee's for your first semester.
All right. I'll take it back. It's not happening at Virginia Tech, but it is happening at UVA.
Chris, you've watched a little UVA, haven't you? What's the take? I mean,
every game.
Are they talented?
I love rooting against UVA. It's so much fun every week.
Are they good?
They're coached well. They've coached
really.
Their players are not good, but they're
okay.
Like, they're sound fundamentally, but they're not good. Like, athletically, not good.
Yeah. Okay. Remember like 5 years ago when we were all like, ha ha ha, you guys got Bronco and we got Fuente, and now it's like, damn, they are coached well.
Yeah. He is coached well. He fits their program really well. I mean, he's kind of like I don't know.
Lame.
Like, I think they're actually okay with where they are, you know?
Yeah. Fine. Yeah,
they're okay with where they are.
Yeah.
They just beat Virginia Tech for the first time in 15 years and they made it to the ACC championship. Like, damn right, they're okay with where they are. Like, they're on the way up. Like, this year's a blip, but like, which one of their Chris? Which one of their punter quarterbacks is your favorite?
Lindell Stone. He is amazing. He's amazing. John, have you not seen this guy? Oh my goodness, he looks like he's just like drinking beers with you on the couch, and then he just like, oh, coach, yeah, I can throw.
He definitely like finished smoking a cigarette before he puts his helmet on to go out. Is he number 38?
Yeah.
He's number 38.
I'm gonna have to watch this guy.
He's wearing a special teams linebacker number. He goes out, and he's their best quarterback.
What's crazy is they were talking about him one of the games. They're like, I think he's only a sophomore. But they're like, yeah, he's only a sophomore. And I was thinking, man, he looks like he's like 45 already. And they're
he's
like,
lived.
After the game, he loves to just go home and hang out with his two kids. He's already got two kids. He's a sophomore. How does he have two kids?
He has a sweet dad bod. Total dad bod.
Yeah,
that's so great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Instead of watching their games,
actual starter Brennan Armstrong, who just came back last week or week before last, he is the most inconsistent quarterback you will ever watch in your life. Like one
more than the guy from BC. Oh man.
Who, Phil Djurkovic?
Yeah, that guy is terrible. You know, it's funny, good friend here to Notre Dame, and like, you know, that he came from Notre Dame, and he was like, we were at dinner a couple weeks ago, and he's like, that guy, he's like, he can throw lasers, and then he's like, just watch him, he's gonna be throwing, like, he'll have a game or two where he just literally can't hit anything. And like, sure enough, that's what happened. I can't remember what the game was, but I was watching, I was like,
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
Was it us? Yeah.
Yeah.
He just couldn't even hit it. Like, he's just like, I mean, yeah.
He had the game against us that Hooker had against Wake, which is just like throwing over the top of everybody.
Yeah. But then he has a great game against Clemson. I mean, they're up 20 at halftime. But like, this week they play Notre Dame, I think. Doesn't BC play Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, watch that line.
That's fun. Yeah.
Where is that, BC?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's their red bandana game. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
Red bandana.
It's their bloods what? Game? What are you talking about?
Oh, come on. Know your college football history.
BC has a red bandana game?
Red bandanas. Did you guys read that article a few years ago where it was like, it kind of like summarized each fan base, like what to expect from each fan base, you know? It was really good. And they were talking about like Georgia Tech or like Florida State, like it's just all Nike and like the Oakley glasses and like, you know, like the jersey, like you actually wear the jerseys there. And BC, I can't remember what he said, but it was something about they're like, he's like, no one's there, but they are like studying in the stand. Like there's really not a fan base, you know, at all there. So
I've been to a BC game at BC.
Oh, you've been?
Yeah. Okay. And unfortunately for me, Sean Glennon was our quarterback at the time. So you know how that went. The stadium is like just, they pump in drum music over the loudspeakers, like behind you. Their fans are there. They're not even aware that they're winning a game. They're actually, the students are actually in a fight with each other. Like the student section is like brawling with each other in a game.
So
they're
it's like
winning.
Boston. Yeah.
It's just Boston. It's just straight Boston. Yeah. And then, so this is the time, dude, that I went out, like after that, we went out to a bar. We're still wearing our Virginia Tech stuff. And like the bartender had like a BC terrible towel, like a Boston College, like yellow and, you know, or gold and burgundy terrible towel. And he was like spinning it around. I was like, yeah, dude, you guys got us. You played a great game. And he's like, shots. Like he was just like, he didn't expect me to say something nice to him, so he just started pouring liquor in my mouth, which was a good time. And then I go to the bathroom, and who's in the bathroom? Steve Levy of ESPN fame.
Yeah, ESPN. So, yeah.
Have I told you this story?
No,
I don't think so.
Okay, so awkwardly, I was a little intoxicated. I am peeing, and I look over to my right, and there's Steve Levy at the urinal next to me.
You don't look over. You don't do anything. What are you talking about?
Well, I did. And I saw Steve Levy. So you see Steve Levy. You're drunk. You just came from a
college football game. Why are you looking anywhere? Focus. You got to focus on the wall.
What a great name for a penis. Oh, look at that.
So I wasn't focused. I had a wandering eye. I saw Steve Levy in the face, nowhere else. And I was like,
yeah, right.
I was like, you think we suck now, don't you? And because it was back when Virginia, it mattered whether we lost back then. And those terrible.
We days. Were like number five. And
yeah. And he was like, I called the hockey game tonight. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, you think we suck now? I just kept saying it to him. That's all. I was like, I gotta go. Good. It was, I am Steve Levy's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Worst nightmare.
He's why like, was he calling a hockey game?
BC's pretty good in hockey, I think.
I think he was calling like a Bruins game.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
I mean, I assumed I didn't ask him. I only said to him, you think we suck now on repeat.
John thought he was there to call a college hockey game.
Steve Levy, one of their top. He's calling NFL games now, and back then he was calling a college hockey game that six people were watching before ESPN Plus even existed.
Oh, that's great. College hockey.
They're pretty good at hockey. Yeah.
Yeah. They might be in the championship or something. I don't know.
Yeah. This is like my second story about like completely kirking out a ESPN.
Oh, yeah. We need to get some cool stories. What about were you – so at the LSU game, remember when we took a picture with Desmond Howard? Were you there for that picture?
I don't remember I remember talking to Antonio Freeman.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. But Desmond Howard, I remember that was when we were, you know, we were like number three, LSU was number two, whatever. And like we took the picture. It was before the game, you know, we were tailgating. And I was like, so – I was like, do you think we got a shot? And he just like – he just looked at us like –
Desmond's good, dude. He's good.
No chance. We're like, oh, yeah. Because in our minds, we were ready, but he knew. Yeah, he's like,
no. So you remember because Chris hooked us up with those seats.
That was amazing. Yeah.
And so we were sitting like third or fourth row or something.
That was crazy.
Behind us is Antonio Freeman. So we end up, you and I think, ended up in like a concession line. Antonio Freeman's right in front of me and he had the awesome Virginia Tech shoes. And I was like, dude, I really like those kicks. And he's like, oh yeah, man, I have a guy. He makes these shoes custom for me. I'll get you his card. And I was like, we don't have the same finances for shoes, man. Now I do order custom Virginia Tech shoes. I wish I had gotten that number.
You're trying to find that number, like, yeah, where's that? Mm-hmm.
I didn't even accept it. I was like, nah, you know, I'm gonna stick with my $30 Nikes.
You're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I think I told you guys that I sat next to Tony Hawk for like a whole flight 2 weeks ago.
Oh, can we please hear about this? Please.
It was awesome. Oh man, it was so cool. I sat down immediately. Yeah, Tony Hawk, like I put my bag up, he's got a skateboard on the overhead. And I'm like, who's this guy with the skateboard or whatever? And as soon as I sat down, I'm like, yeah, it's Tony Hawk. I was like, no joke. I was like, I'm sitting next to Tony Hawk right now. And so anyway, it was awesome.
Crazy.
And he engaged. Like he actually started the conversation. We talked for like literally 2 hours, probably just about everything.
No.
It was great. It was awesome. Like he was just asking me about kids. And like, I mean, we were just like having fun. Like we were just talking about skateboarding and like, you know, stuff. Like I was asking him just all kinds of stuff about like, has he ever, I don't know. It was really cool. He's just a great guy. Like it was just an awesome conversation. But it was funny because we were talking about in Dallas, because I was telling him Carson, my son's like getting into skateboarding and all this kind of stuff. He's like, oh man. He's like, let me show you on my Instagram. So he's like, show me on his Instagram, this guy that he knows in Dallas that owns a skateboard shop. And he's like, you got to go down there. It's called like Four Down or something. And he's like, but in his mind, he's like, yeah, this makes sense. But he's like, you got to go down there and tell them that you know me. And he's like, they'll hook you up, you know, whatever. And I'm like,
right. Oh, I know Tony.
But at the time, I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. I was like, that's cool. What's his name? You know? And he's like, his name's Scott. Like, or I can't remember what it was exactly. But he's like, yeah, just you know, just tell him you know me. You met me on plane, and I told you to hook him up. I was like, okay, great. I can. Sure, this phone call is like, hey dude, I sat next to Tony Hawk and he said to call you. Like,
you know, yeah.
Great guy. He really was.
And then he wants you to get like a $2,000 skateboard for CC. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, he was cool. He was really great. Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
He rode his skateboard off the plane. Like he rode it down, like whatever, and immediately like none of the nobody on the plane knew who he was. Nobody, like, everybody just kind of like kept walking by, and I'm like, I wanted to be like, it's Tony Hawk if anybody knew, but
you know what I just learned, Chris? John flies first class wherever he goes.
That's exactly right.
During COVID. Yes.
Tony,
I get bumped. That's right.
That's Tony, right, yeah. Tony Hawk's not boarding the Southwest flight at B15.
No. There's no way there's skateboards fitting back there in row 36.
No.
Yeah. No.
I did have a Tito's with Tony, though. I will say that. So, so.
That's awesome.
This guy now, so.
Did you make him do that, or is that what he does?
No. So, it was funny, the you know, flight attendant, who she also knew, she was one of the only, like, people on the plane that knew. She kept coming back. She's like, everything going okay back here? Good, you know. He was so cool. He was just like, he's like, yeah, we're good. He's like, I'll take some Tito's. And I was like, I'll take a ginger ale. And I was like, I'm like, no, I'll take a Tito's as well. Like, I was like, I'm like, it was one of those decisions. I'm like, what? Like, no, you order when Tony Hawk's in and you're hanging out, you order a Tito. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Tito's that Tony. Awesome. It was fun. All right, fellas, how do we wrap here?
All right. So
why don't we got it? Oh yeah, rapid questions. Let's go, Scott.
But do I have rapid questions? I don't have any rapid questions.
Any? Should I? You don't have any?
Yeah. No.
I think we got to end with one Virginia Tech convo, or definitely our lock of the week. It doesn't have to be Virginia Tech. Lock of the week. Come on, who you got?
Lock of the week. I haven't actually looked at any of the.
Yeah, games. I'd have to go through my phone. I got some rapid fire. How many games does Hendon Hooker have, like the Wake Forest game, before you're like, maybe we should put Burmeister back in?
Burmeister? Why are they not playing Quincy?
Right. Burmeister was horrible.
I'm not rooting for this. I think Hendon Hooker's a great quarterback. I'm honestly, I think he's the best quarterback we've had in a long time.
That's what I'm saying. I think, honestly, a non-COVID year, Hendon Hooker could win enough games next year as a senior quarterback to keep Justin Fuente around. That's what I'm saying.
He's technically still going to be a junior because this year doesn't count.
That's right.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But he was also like in the transfer portal a year ago. Like he was like maybe leaving. We almost lost Hendon Hooker.
That's when he was going to be third string. I mean, he's for sure.
But who is he going to be third string to anyway?
Quincy.
Ryan Wills.
White Lightning.
White Lightning.
That's crazy. Yes.
Isn't that crazy? I'd be in the portal too. Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the stuff is like our coaching decisions sometimes like, okay, you've walked me off the ledge of that timeout, but now it's like, it's still how did like Hendon Hooker not start last year? Like you know, unless Quincy or Ryan Willis is a practice hero and.
Yeah. And just like Sean Glennon. Sean Glennon was amazing in practice.
Really?
Nobody's hitting him. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I got a rapid question for y'all. Will we remember, since we just now talked about Virginia Tech receivers of the past, will we remember any of the receivers that we have now, like in the future, you know, 10 years down the road, are we going to be like Trey Turner, Tavion Robbins, like any receiver, you know, because the last 3 years, that's all Fuente's recruited. Like, I feel like all we've gotten is like tons.
I think Trey will kind of have a lasting, I think if he stays, especially another year or two, cause you got like the history of like Cam Phillips, Isaiah Ford, Trey Turner. I think he's in there. Yeah.
I think so. I think Trey's got a chance in that if he sticks it out and beats UNC next year, cause you know, he hates North Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, then he's got a kind of a legend there. I think James Mitchell is the one you look at and you're like, this is the best receiver.
I feel like James is the one guy that'll play in the pros on our team.
There's offensive linemen who play in the pros, I think.
Yeah.
Darrishaw played.
Yeah, but otherwise, no, I don't think so, dude. You got to win big games. I mean, the reason you remember Eddie Royal is like catching that pass against Miami that won the ACC championship. Like you have to A, play in big games, and then B, win them. So what's it going to take? Like they're going to have to be Dyrell Roberts and beat, you know, Nebraska or you know, so they got to make a big play against Clemson in a meaningful game.
In a game that matters. Yeah. That's a good point.
True. Yeah. I was actually saying to myself as you were saying that, I was like, and you have to be able to get open. Like, so
yeah, why is that?
That is part of your job. Because they're not any good. They're really not that good.
Is it impossible to go like get a quarterback's coach from the NFL or something and make them an offensive coordinator? Like, why couldn't we go get somebody from the Chiefs? Like even like an executive assistant with the Chiefs and be like, how do you get this many people so wide open? None of them are that much faster than other people in the NFL. They're all in the NFL.
Yeah. I know. It is true. All right, lock of the week. I'll just give my lock of the week, and I'm giving you guys some free money here. But then,
did you pick this one
Before you give your lock of the week, let's go ahead and tell the listeners. John King has picked how many games this year? I don't know, 70 games?
7 weeks. 7 times 12. So
84.
Yeah, 84 games, yeah.
84 games, and John King is 57% correct against the spread.
That's right. So this pick right here matters.
I think against the spread.
Lock of the week, Michigan State, Indiana. It's a 7-point spread. I was just looking at it, and Indiana is favored by 7. I think that's Michigan State all the way. This is a very, very – this is a good opportunity where Indiana has shocked both Michigan and Penn State, and they think they are going to – like, if you're an Indiana fan right now, you think you're going to the playoffs. Like, that's where they really think they're doing. They're looking at their schedule. They're looking way past Michigan State. Michigan State's good. They beat Michigan. So, I'm going Michigan State to just cover it at least. So.
All right. Is it at Indiana?
It's at Michigan State.
Oh. I did
Michigan State Indiana
last week. They did impress me a little bit.
Didn't pick that game. Can I give you my lock of the week?
I'd love to hear it.
My lock of the week is underway right now. I picked Boise State 13.5-point favorites over Colorado State. They were up 42-7 at halftime.
Wow.
Bam. That's money in the bank. You guys can't do anything with it, but I already got it.
Bam. You can't do a game that's in progress.
I already locked it up.
You can't do a game in progress.
I'm out of it.
Fans that are listening can't pick it.
Okay, first of all, there are no fans listening. And second of all, if you accept my advice, you're an idiot. So all right, I'll pick a different lock of the week with no explanation.
Scott's lying. He is beating Vegas.
Yes, but do the lines don't move on the CBS app. They're just the same.
Because if someone locks it,
yeah.
Oh, so if I lock it, it doesn't move for any of you guys?
That's right.
Oh.
And it goes both ways, too. Like if someone, takes Kansas at 38-point underdogs for Oklahoma, then everyone has that for Oklahoma. Mm. You can take it the other way. So it's locked in.
That's amazing. I had no idea, and I'm still beating Vegas, which tells you I'm an idiot. You should.
Me too. I didn't know until last week. Chris told us.
So,
but it's fun. It's fun to look at like Vegas spreads that are changing, but ours are not changing. Sort of makes it fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm just going to go to the next game on my list. Then I picked Cincinnati 27.5-point favorites over ECU, and I'm just telling you, Cincinnati's pretty damn good. That's all I got.
They're good. Okay. All
right. They're good.
Have you seen that quarterback? He's very fast.
No, but I feel like they beat the spread every week. Every week they beat the spread, and they're still not getting any respect. No. And East Carolina's 1-5, 27.5. That's four touchdowns. I just told you that Boise State is winning by 35 points in the first half.
I just told you I'm good at this.
I'm good at this. No, I'm not. Somebody. I'm gonna lose that one. As a backup plan, I'll give you West Virginia -3.5 over TCU.
Who are you picking in that?
West Virginia. TCU's terrible. West Virginia is not good, but TCU's terrible. That's what I got.
And it's at West Virginia.
I think West Virginia's pretty good, actually. They're not bad.
They're like 4-3.
All right, Chris. Who's your pick? Who's your pick, Chris?
So I wanna go Florida, but Arkansas is 6-0 against the spread this year. So I'm not going to take that. I'm just sort of going to stay away. But I want to go far. But I'm actually staying in the SEC. I'm taking Ole Miss. I think it's 11 or 11.5. I think it's 11 against South Carolina. South Carolina is garbage. And it's at Ole Miss. Ole Miss already had 2 wins that they don't have. They actually beat Auburn. Ole Miss has an offense, and they were roll on South Carolina.
South Carolina, they did me wrong last week. I thought for sure that they were going to surprise A&M and just cover at least, and they got
– they're garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're garbage. They literally are, like, trying to decide what quarterback to play. Like, they're down to, like, 4 guys this week. There's no chance they cover 11 points against Ole Miss.
You know who keeps doing me dirty, though, is Penn State. I keep, like – I'm like, oh, man, they should be so good. They're 3-point favorites or whatever against Nebraska, and Nebraska's not good either. And like, so I'm like, hey, they got to win this. They have to cover 3.
Herbstreit, I don't know if you guys watched any game day. I just turned it on. It's fun to have, on. And the only part I saw is he was talking about the Penn State game last week. And he's like, mark my word. He's like, Penn State doesn't lose another game. That's what he said. And they lost.
It's almost as funny as how bad Cincinnati's going to lose now that I picked them to cover a 28-point spread.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You never bet against the Pirates. All right. ECU? I know we got to go, but seriously, last thing, who wins the Masters? Everyone take a person.
Yeah. Chambeau, baby. Dallas. You got to go Bryson.
Is he from Dallas?
Scott. He's a weird dude. Yeah, he lives in Dallas.
He's so weird.
He hits the ball like 400 yards. It's insane. Dude, I was actually watching a little bit of the Masters earlier. I saw Bryson DeChambeau on a 300, like hit a drive 347 yards. Then he like skied his pitching wedge way past the hole into a bunker and then rolled his bunker shot up to within like an inch of going in for, and tapped it in for a birdie or something. It's crazy. Insane.
Oh, it's crazy.
Maybe that would have been a par. Not important. What is important is I'm going Tiger, man.
All right.
Tiger, wait, what is Tiger after first round?
Four under.
He's four under. He's had tied his best round. He had no bogeys. He's the defending Masters champ, which I bet you didn't realize. You might have realized that because you follow golf, but like he actually won the Masters last year.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's won a couple tournaments in his career too. So
Tiger.
He's done a couple of those.
He's one of three golfers I can name. So
I'm going with Justin Thomas. Write it down.
Oh.
He's my pick.
The JT of golf.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm taking JT.
I like it.
Bryson DeChambeau does have the most grandpa hat of all the golfers.
This is true.
Grandpa hat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all, that's Bird Brains.
That's Bird Brains.
Four Bird Brains already, I think. Four.
Drop the mic.
In the season. In a season where it's not going that well. So that's pretty
amazing. It's good therapy. It's good therapy.
It is good. I think we definitely get on here after we upset Clemson.
I have no idea maybe how the season's going to go, but I feel good just in general.
It's good therapy for us, but do you think everybody listening was
could be.
I really hope they weren't going to talk about Fuente.
I feel good.
We just spent 45 minutes on it.
Oh, it's great.
Gotta love Hokies.
Yeah, man. Go Hokies, fellas.
Hey, good seeing you.
And signing off, the Virginia Tech men's soccer team is fifth in the country right now, if you all are wondering.
Wow.
I was not wondering, but now I am. Now, did you just reel me back in? Do I have a reason to go back on the message boards? Oh, no.
Hokiesports.com, here we come.
I was being so productive.
Fifth in the country, baby. Write it down.
That's great.
And we beat UVA last Friday. Just so you know, we beat UVA last
Friday. Nice.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I texted all my UVA friends.
Nice.
All right, we'll see y'all. Peace.
Later.